So yeah, ultimately, I think those numbers might even prove to be low. Ultimately, gold and silver go higher in the face of obligations by this country that can really probably only be met through printing of money or monetization of bonds. Same thing, because just no one wants to hold our treasuries because of inflation risk, default risk, and outright confiscation risk.
Well, hello there, my friends. Chris Marcus here with you for Arcadia Economics, and happy to have Andy Schechtman back on with me this week. Andy's been busy traveling in the past couple of weeks, exciting schedule of a gold and silver dealer that he lives. Although, of course, there's been plenty happening in gold and silver in these past 2 weeks since he's been on here, which we'll look forward to digging into today. Obviously, we had a sell-off that started on Friday, right after silver was back over $30, pushing it down back under that level and continuing on Tuesday. In either case, Andy, a lot happening here and good to have you back. And how's everything going?
You always put a smile on my face, Chris. And actually, some people realize how witty you truly are, but it's great to be back here, brother. And thanks for having me. I missed you. But it's good to be back.
Well, I know something that excites many gold and silver investors is, of course, news about JP Morgan, who is now actually structurally bullish on gold and silver. This is a report that came out Monday. And if I can brag for a second here, even the great Vince Lancey, who is on top of the banking reports that come out on metals, he hadn't even seen this one. So I'm going to call that a scoop in my own eyes. But all of that silliness aside, here is the keynote. JP Morgan mentioned structurally bullish on gold and silver. Recent consolidation calls a buying opportunity. So, Andy, I don't know if you're happy or not being in company with JP Morgan, but I know you think gold and silver are a good buy at this particular point in history of monetary cycles and whatnot. But here we see their targets: $2,634 an ounce on silver, respectively, in 2025. And they also like copper too. But Andy, do you care to comment on JP Morgan and their view that the pullback is an opportunity to continue accumulating?
I mean, it look, man, it makes sense, Chris. I mean, everyone talks about the price of gold and silver and inflation and soft landing and all of the noise, but let's break it down and make it real simple. I mean, look, we're adding $1 trillion in debt every 100 days, and we have, I don't know, 150 trillion in unfunded liabilities. The national debt is up 11.5 trillion since 2020. And this is a country that has its fiscal house not in order. And when you look at the unfunded liabilities, who's going to pay for them? And you know, when the Congressional Budget Office says in 6 years, 100% of tax revenue goes just to pay mandatory entitlement and interest on the debt only. When you realize military spending is discretional, who's gonna fund our military? So we have a situation that is un, you know, it's just it's not. We can't continue down this path, put it to you that way. And so I would just simply say that ultimately, gold and silver go higher in the face of a dollar that falls. And I don't know if it's gold and silver going higher as much as what JP Morgan is saying is that the dollar has to fall. And that's really what I think ultimately will happen. Now, when you look at what's happening around the globe, the de-dollarization, the detreasurization, a growing union of countries, as we've talked about forever, and only, I think,
Detreasurization, is that a new one?
detreasurization. Yes. Well, I mean, that's what they're doing. Why would anyone want to hold treasuries? You look at gold, it's up 9.9% on average for 25 years. That's doubled the value, the pace of the 10-year treasury. And we've proven to the world that we don't like what you're doing. We'll take your treasuries and may even give them to the country, or buy weapons with the proceeds and give to the country you're in a war with. That's a very tough thing to come back from. So I think ultimately it leads to more of the same. Countries seeking alternatives to the dollar, seeking alternatives to the treasury. Read Zoltan Pozsar. This is Bretton Woods 3. all about commodities. And it's also a country that has obligations that will be very difficult to meet just from tax revenue. So where are your options? You know, raise taxes, print money, and selling treasuries in an environment where there's only $8 trillion in treasury holdings that are foreign held. The majority of it is owed to us. Foreigners are not really keen. Now, there are some countries, if we are to believe that UK and Ireland and Cayman Islands are keen on holding our treasury debt, but the ones that have been responsible for funding our spending binge seem to be moving in another direction. So yeah, ultimately, I think those numbers might even prove to be low. Ultimately, gold and silver go higher in the face of obligations by this country that can really probably only be met through printing of money or monetization of bonds. Same thing, because just no one wants to hold our treasuries because of inflation risk, default risk, and outright confiscation risk. And I think that's really where it is in its simplest of terms. So yeah, you know, I don't think we've seen anything yet, I guess, is the bottom line. And I'm happy with those numbers, but I would think that they could actually be much higher.
Well, then I will raise you a Bank of America. They're calling for 3,000 ants over the next 12 to 18 months. So does that fit your forecast a little better?
Yeah, I mean it does. And I think that does. And then you take 3,000 and divide it by 42, which has been, you know, the average price ratio of the last 100 plus years. You get 71 and a half bucks. Divide it by 7 and you're almost to 400. That would be what it's coming out of the ground at. So yeah, I think it's just fair to say that gold and silver are two of the only assets that haven't been allowed to find fair value when everything else has been distorted to the upside. Price discovery hasn't really happened in gold and silver for the numerous reasons we've enumerated before. But I think, yeah, ultimately, those are our numbers that I think are certainly realistic and maybe a whole hell of a lot higher. I guess I'll say this. There are very few absolutes that you can talk about in finance. And I've learned in 34 years, maybe the only absolute I can give you is that bull markets go higher than anyone thinks possible. Look at the Dow. When I started, it was 2,100. And bear markets will fall further than anyone ever thinks possible. And I would look at the Nikkei, which was 40,000 in 1990, or pretty damn close to it. And it's just now getting back to where it was. I know it bettered it for a moment recently, but it's taken 34 years to do that. And it's still just barely there, if not just below it, at a period of time where interest rates in Japan have been zero bound forever. So even with 0% interest, you can't entice the public who was burned so badly to go back in to the Nikkei. And so I think when we look at gold and silver in the scheme of things, this is I think a massive shift, a once in a generation shift away from the dollar. And so yeah, sky's the limit, I guess, but it won't be easy and it won't be smooth and it won't be just straight up because of the obvious ramifications of all of this. So you got the West hanging on, doing all they can to shake people from the bull. Bull wants to take as few people along for the ride as possible. But when you realize that, you know, gold right now has replaced the euro in terms of the second largest asset held by central banks right now for the first time ever, 18% allocation to central bank holdings, if we believe those numbers, the writing is on the wall. Gold and silver are replacing many traditional assets, along with other commodities too. As Zoltán Pozsar says, this is about real commodities, no longer promises from countries that are bankrupt morally, socially, and actually. And I think that portrays for much higher prices in gold and silver, even than Bank of America or JP Morgan optimistically are telling us.
Well, and since you mentioned Zoltán Pozsar in there, in fact, before we get to that though, you did mention something else about the rate at which gold and silver are coming out of the ground and the pricing. And it reminds me of something I looked up about a week or two ago, where if you look at how much money has gone into at least what we see reported investment demand from World Gold Council and Silver Institute, Andy, would you care to venture a guess at what is the amount that gets invested into gold versus silver according to those numbers?
I
Everybody
don't know.
watching along
I
at
would
home,
say
you can
much
guess
more
there.
in gold than in silver. I don't know. And as usual, you are like a maven as it comes to finding these articles. And it's always amazed me how you do. But I would say probably a whole, I mean, if we realize that I think on the London Metals Exchange, if I'm not mistaken, that the silver trade only represents about 3% of the gold trade, I would say much, 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 much more in gold than in silver.
Yeah, and again, keep in mind this is a total dollar amount, not ounces, but you had about 128 billion in gold to 6 billion in silver, which just have been thinking about it over the past couple of months, where we've seen plenty about how much gold the central banks have been buying. I've not heard of any reports yet, central banks allocating to silver.
Well, that's pretty
So
close to that
if they took even
3%. That's real close to that 3%, brother. So yeah, I mean, doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, so again, that has not changed yet. Should that change, where even 5 or 10% of that money went into silver, certainly would be an interesting day in the silver market if we ever get to that point. And you mentioned Zoltan Pozsar, who talks a lot about how this is a process and not a single event. And he was doing an interview with Ronnie Stoifele from In Gold We Trust. And something he mentioned here that perhaps as we're just about halfway through the year here in 2024, and now we had central bankers out this morning saying there might be no rate cuts in 2024. Why don't you just tell me how many rate cuts you would like? And anyway, Zoltan here mentions 2% inflation and going back to the old world. I don't think it stands a snowball's chance in hell. Low inflation is over and we're not going back. So we're certainly in a different market mindset, shall we say, than when we began the year. Curious if you have any reaction to what he's saying here that 2% inflation is done. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, I don't care what the CPI says. I can't think of hardly anything that's only up 3%, like they're telling us. I was just in Las Vegas, and although we stayed at the Wynn, which is great, that Sphere is incredible, by the way. A cheeseburger, French fries, and a Coke delivered to my room was $74. Dead serious on that. I mean, I wish things were only up 3%, but I think that the likelihood of inflation getting down to those levels is next to nil. I mean, the 3% inflation they're telling us is fugazi. The money creation is off the charts. The metrics by which they gauge inflation are distorted. And remember, they told us originally there was no inflation, and then it was transitory. And well, they told us there'd be four rate hikes or decreases rather for sure. The beginning of the year, and now maybe one. And if they do that one towards the end of the year, it just reeks of it being politicized to get the keep the Democrats in office to get that run up of the market prior to the election. But yeah, I think those days are long over. Like I was saying earlier, how do you pay these unfunded liabilities? Where does the money come from? You're creating $1 trillion in debt every single month. How is inflation over at only at 3%? Where does it hold up? Is it all in the equity markets? Is it in the treasury market? Where is it? And when it finally starts to rear its head in the real economy, it's impossible to say that inflation will get down to 2%. I can't believe it. I don't think if you go back and look at their numbers over the last 30 years, they've been at 2% more than once or twice. Most of the time, they're over 2%, even by their own flawed metrics. But yeah, I would agree. Zoltan Pozsar is a genius. And yeah, I don't think that we get inflation anywhere near 2%. And if they were really honest with their inflation numbers, it would be a whole hell of a lot higher. So if they do pivot and lower rates, it only reignites that inflation engine that is already higher than 3% for what they're trying to get us to believe.
Well, he also mentions one other interesting thing down here. These topics are becoming more mainstream. When I talk to most sophisticated macro hedge funds and investors, the common refrain that comes back is they've never seen an environment as complicated as this. There's consensus around gold. It's a safe bet, and everything else is uncertain. Now, certainly by all means, I don't think everyone in the world is looking at it like that, but interesting comment from Zoltan. And as I've mentioned in previous Andy Schechtman retail silver and gold physical market updates, that I enjoyed going through that World Bank report. And there was one other comment that I had pulled up here that ties into what we just heard from Zoltan, where again, this is from the World Bank, who I might add assisted in the creation of Zimbabwe's gold-backed currency. So they're active these days, did that and had time to write. There's an argument that in the aftermath of Russia's supply side crisis and sanctions imposed on Russia, the world is transitioning from the Bretton Woods era, which was backed by gold bullion, to Bretton Woods II, which was backed by inside money, to Bretton Woods III, which was backed by outside money, as Zoltan Pozsar described in 2022, and the outside money being gold bullion and other commodities. And the belief is that Russian sanctions create incentives for central banks to abandon the dollar in favor of gold and for governments to cash in their dollar reserves for stocks of other commodities. So we're seeing some of that happen in terms of some other central banker thoughts. So again, not my opinion here, but this was from the World Gold Council. They did a survey of 70 central bankers. Here you see, what proportion of total reserves do you think will be denominated in gold 5 years from now? And 68% think that the amount of gold is going to be higher. So,
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, I think it's you look at the amount of gold that China's been accumulating, and we're only supposed to believe and producing that they have 26 or 2700 metric tons. They have way more than that, and their banks are accumulating it, and doing so in a manner that isn't reported to the IMF. Why would anyone tell the IMF exactly how much they have? And people have been saying China's been underreporting it forever. And you know, you look at the central banks, they are buying gold hand over fist, but also equally as impressive to me in terms of the big picture. And by the way, I apologize to your guest because I watched the video five times and I don't have his name and I
that's
owe him a
okay.
phone call. But it was one of the best videos I've ever seen in a very long time. The guy's real smart about Enbridge and about the unit. And I've learned a lot from him. And thank you. And I owe you a phone call. What's his name?
Matt Riley.
I suggest everyone watch that video. It's very eye-opening. But you know, you look at like ICBC Bank and a few of the other state-owned banks. They buy gold as a proxy on behalf of the PBOC. They work at the refineries all around the world. They don't tell this to the IMF. It's not reported. Everyone always said China underreports. China underreports. Alistair Mac But now we're supposed to believe them, right? Alistair MacLeod says, you know, that they have 40,000 metric tons, or thereabouts, five times what we do, and of which the state owns, you know, 20, and the people own 19. But I look at like India as an example of what's really happening. They bought 1.5 times the amount of gold in the first 4 months than they did in the entire year last year, but they repatriated 100 metric tons from the Bank of England, which by proxy is the London Bullion Metals Exchange. And all of these countries in Africa, including Saudi Arabia and Egypt, have repatriated their gold from the New York Fed, i.e., the COMEX. So it's not only the accumulation by the most well-informed traders, it's also the repatriation, the removal of counterparty risk. And that's a lot, I think, what Zoltan Pozsar is talking about. That's why it's commodities. We've broken trust. And I think that's the most important thing. When the central banks say we're going to keep buying, sure, I would argue that the numbers that we all are led to believe are way underreported. The IMF says that, the analysts at Bank of Montreal says that, and everyone has said that about China in particular for years, going back as far as I can remember. So I would simply say that there is no reason for gold to have been reclassified tier one. And when you see other than that it's significant in terms of where it's going. And when I say gold, silver is part of gold. And as one goes, so too will the other, ultimately, for different reasons now. But they're not going, one's not going to the heavens without the other one coming with. But I think when you see the repatriation, it speaks volumes. It's about the loss of trust. This is what it's all about, the loss of trust. And can you put Humpty Dumpty back together? Don't know. The trust is something that I think is very difficult to get back once you break it in any form of life, whether it be relationships or in this case, the world reserve status or the center of free trade. People look at this country differently now, in many ways. And I think, maybe the most important way is the risk of having assets in treasuries as savings. Instead, they're looking at commodities, which I think have no counterparty risk, and the relevance of how important they are moving forward. I think Zoltan nailed it. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me the central banks say that, and I would argue that they're buying way more than they're telling us, and producing more than they're telling us. So, tell us just enough to keep us interested. But if we really knew how much the Chinese were buying or any of these countries, the price would go parabolic. And it's in all of their best interest during the accumulation phase to be tight-lipped about that and not be genuine. Doesn't do them any good to do that.
Well, I hear you, and perhaps we'll find out how much gold China really has one day. Would be hard to imagine what they could say that is similar with the US, where you actually fully trust the answer, but either case, we'll see if we ever get an
Only
answer.
time will tell, brother. You're right, as always.
Andy, last thing in wrapping up, anything you could say about what's been going on with the premiums on retail lately on gold and silver?
Well, what I will tell you is that, and it's interesting, part of the reason the premiums were so cheap for the last several months has been the overhang of backdated items. Where for the first half of the year, I didn't sell anything. 2024, we had so much stuff from previous years and a lot of people selling. That's for the most part gone. And you can't find much in the way of backdated material anymore. That would be step number one. Silver Eagle premiums have been on the rise. That would be step number two. I would say that the premiums are just about ready to start moving. They've moved up a little bit, but the tightness in the physical market in terms of secondary product, we've seen kind of a ceasing, if you will, of the sellbacks. And now it's moved now to people are buying again, but you don't find those really, really great deals on the backdated stuff that we've seen. I would still say that probably the best value, period, bar none, would be junk silver pre-65 dimes and quarters, because it seems as though that's the one item that hasn't kept up with the sovereign mint coins recently, and through most of the pandemic was only second to Silver Eagles in premium, and most of the time north of $10, $11 over spot, and now you're buying it at well under $2 over spot. So if I were buying anything right now, that's what it would be, because the premium on that has yet to match those of the sovereign mint coins, which is really kind of confusing. I can't explain it other than to say it is the way that it is. But yeah, whether it be big stashes of 100-ounce bars or backdate sovereign mint coins like Maples and Eagles and Philharmonics, it's all gone. So I would expect to see premiums really start to slowly and then maybe even gradually and faster move up as we get into the fall, which is typically when that happens. Let alone with the BRICS meeting and the election. I'm shocked it's lasted this long with the strength of gold and the central banks buying. I'll be really shocked if we don't see something that wakes people up into the election that would push premiums higher. But it's still ultimately a very advantageous, it's a buyer's market right now, at least in terms of price.
Alrighty. And is there anything in particular on special this week?
Good question. You usually catch me off guard on that. I know we are working on, so I think we kept the specials the same, which would be silver kilo Ital Preziosi bars at $1.79 over, because we wanted to do something special, maybe even as soon as tomorrow for the debate. And stay tuned. I will let you know. Maybe you can attach something to this or send something out or I know it's a little bit late in the tooth here since we're doing this video right now, but we're working on something special for the debate. American in I'm sure it'll be junk silver, maybe some Morgan silver dollars, maybe some circulated $10 and $20 gold pieces. It's a big moment for the United States this election, and it starts, I guess you could say, it kind of really starts Thursday with the debate. So we still have the Ital Preziosi kilos at $1.79 over, and I would tell you the junk silver is less than that, and probably a better buy. So that's all we got this week in special. I'm sure next week there'll be something much more grandiose, but maybe in the next day or two, something really special. So stay tuned.
Well, and you can find out or take advantage of that by emailing arcadia@milesfranklin.com. Or if you would like to check back in and find out what the super election special might be once such information is made public, just email us at arcadia@milesfranklin.com, and happy to talk with anyone who has questions there. And Andy, we'll wrap up for this week, but thank you as always for making some time. And who knows what next week holds in store, but I'm sure it'll be eventful, and we'll see how the debates go this week and all sorts of other things that are happening, but appreciate you being here, and we will see you again soon.
I will always be here, Chris, and I'm still waiting to do one in person, brother. So I look forward to seeing you soon and picking up where we left off. Thanks again, buddy.